Michael Medved show for people who don't think that we have an unusual governor in the state of Washington. He actually was a two-fisted signer of new legislation, signing one bill with the right hand, one bill with the left hand, at the same time that he was trying to use his veto power in a way that even his fellow Democrats think may be unconstitutional. What is going on in, again, that pure Democratic one-party town of Olympia, where the Democrats are supposed to be working together, right, to govern the state of Washington? Jason Mercier is probably the best person I know of. He's with the Washington Policy Center's Center for Government Reform. And what is going on with what you have called, and others agree with you, even some Democrats apparently, a unconstitutional power grab by the governor?
Yes, hello, Michael. It has been a very strange week, as you mentioned, concerning the governor's bill signing. Both doing something that, to my knowledge and the Secretary of State's knowledge, has never happened before. And that is, as you mentioned, signing two separate bills at the same time, using his left and his right hand, but doing it off of camera so you couldn't really see which one got signed first. And that's important for reasons we can get to in a moment. And then secondly, the governor was sued several years ago for violating the Constitution, doing an illegal line item veto. He did it not once, not twice, but three times again in the last 2 days, and resulting in the bipartisan response from lawmakers saying that we're going to have to sue you yet again, since apparently you didn't get the message in 2019.
Okay, what is so important to Governor Inslee that he is willing to dodge? And it's basically a part of the state constitution that was added by voters back in 1974. What did the voters decide that Governor Inslee has decided to ignore?
Yeah, so we used to have basically the governor could do whatever they wanted. There were no restrictions on the veto power. And this was not something that the legislature nor the citizens wanted to see continue. So in 1974, there was a constitutional amendment, and the voter's guide actually said, stop one-man lawmaking, right? This is not the way we want laws made in the state of Washington. And what that constitutional amendment required is if the governor wants to veto sections of a bill, it has to be entire sections. He can't rewrite the intent of the law by vetoing just words or sentences. Very clear. But apparently not so clear for the current governor, because this week on a couple of bills, the low carbon fuel standard, which is a high priority for his, the cap and trade bill, again, another high priority for his, and then just yesterday in the transportation budget, the governor yet again issued line item vetoes and vetoed out words. And this was something the legislature called him on back in 2019 when he first did this. They sued him. And last year, a Superior Court judge ruled, yes, Governor, you violated the Constitution. And that case is set to be heard again by the state Supreme Court here in June. Notwithstanding that, he did it again. And in the transportation budget, he did it on the exact same thing that the Superior Court told him he couldn't do just last year.
Okay, what are we talking about here? Because I had assumed that Governor Inslee was in full and total and unanimous control of everything that goes on in Olympia. He has big majorities in both houses of the state legislature. And now you have the Democratic, very liberal Democratic speaker of the state house who says, yeah, we're going to sue the governor on this. What are they fighting over?
Well, you know, the developments this week were good and somewhat concerning. It was good from the standpoint to see the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader and the Republican leadership in both bodies fight for the power of the legislative branch of government, saying you are doing things that the Constitution provides us, the lawmaking. We have restrictions on what you can veto. So it was good institutionally to see them fight back on it. I guess the concerning thing is, where was this concern and where has this concern been on the governor's emergency powers? I know it's a separate issue, but again, that's a legislative prerogative. So maybe this is starting to foretell that you're going to see the legislature care a little bit more about its institutional powers going forward. But with the policy fight is over, cap and trade, low carbon fuel standard, those environmental policies have been big priorities for the governor since he came into office. But he hasn't been able to get them through his own Democratic legislature because the Democrats who are wanting a transportation budget are concerned that if we're spending money and costing citizens money for gasoline and their energy on these environmental policies, they wouldn't support a transportation package. So what the legislature tried to do is what they called a grand bargain, saying that the cap and trade enforcement and the low carbon fuel standard enforcement would not take effect until a separate transportation tax package was agreed to. And that's what the governor vetoed. He vetoed out that linkage to the transportation tax package.
So, in other words, no commitment to fix the bridges that are in danger all around or already closed, like in West Seattle. No commitment to take care of the stuff that we need to take care of to keep transportation up to snuff. Even if the governor gets his way with cap and trade and the fuel economy standards.
Well, and this is where things are going to get very interesting, because apparently there had been some type of agreement between the governor and the Democratic leadership to call a special session in September to pass this transportation tax package. But now that he has done this veto, you have the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, Senator Hobbs, and you have other members of the Democrat Transportation Committee saying he has poisoned the well. He has totally disrupted the ability of us to work with our colleagues on these type of compromises. So now it calls into question if this three-plan September special session is going to be able to move forward.
What does this mean financially to ordinary citizens out there?
Well, it does make it very interesting to see now that the governor has done what is arguably an unconstitutional veto. Will the courts weigh in on this, and what impact does that have on the total bills? Does this keep the cap and trade and low carbon fuel standard from going forward in effect? Does it bring the linkage back to a transportation tax package? The challenge, though, is it takes several years for the courts to weigh in on these things. So we could have some uncertainty going forward for several years. But as we started this off, you know, the transportation veto, the low carbon fuel standard, that's something we're kind of familiar with because the governor has done this before. But what has never happened before is the signing of two bills at the same time with both hands off camera, so you don't know which one got signed first.
By the way, is he ambidextrous? Is Governor Inslee ambidextrous? Does he have a use of both left and right hands?
If he had done it on camera, I guess he would have seen how well those signatures looked. But what this has to do with is the legislature passed two broadband bills to expand broadband in the state. And they might have had a conflict in them that could cancel out some sections. And why that matters is under state law, basically the last bill to be signed would take precedence. So the Secretary of State needs to know what was the order of the signing to know which bill will take primary effect. Because the governor did this off camera and says he used both hands, she doesn't know which one was signed first. So now she is having to go to the courts to say, what do I do? How do I interpret which bill to give precedent
still. The whole story is so remarkable and so colorful and so whacked. You need to read about it. Go to our website, to michaelmedved.com. Click on the big banner for Washington Policy Center, and you can read the most recent blog by Jason Mercier, who's WPC Center for Government Reform head. It's so complicated and so important, you need to get involved with the WPC, the Washington Policy Center. Jason, keep up the fight. Keep us informed. We will be right back here on the MedVed Show.
Your outlet for us.